Subcommittee on General Government, Transportation, and Economic Development, a subcommittee of the House Special Committee on Budget. This morning is Thursday, June 16th, 2005. We're going to open a work session on House Bill 5137. I'm going to ask just very quickly if Representative Escobar would like to come up and just join us either up here or... yeah, come on up here. Okay. We've got our quorum, but we may need you to hang tight because Representative Bakke may have to testify. Okay, we've opened our work session on House Bill 5137, the Real Estate Agency. Monica.
Chair and members of the committee, as you may recall, during the public hearing in March when this agency was before the joint committee, there were several areas of concern and considerable discussion on the staffing levels, whether self-regulation for the real estate industry was appropriate, and role of the current board. So the proposal before you this morning, I think after much work behind the scenes to develop a budget note, the proposal is to establish a 15-month operating budget for this agency with an accompanying budget note that establishes an interim work group that would be appointed by both House and Senate members as well as the Real Estate Board, the Commissioner, and have them review the role and the function of the board, the practices of the Commissioner and agency, alternate forms of licensure, and there is currently an internal audit being conducted by the Department of Administrative Services. So they would be reviewing that and making proposals to the next legislature. So a couple other detail items that are in the proposal. There are the standard rate adjustments in this budget as well, and then we did a 15-month calculation for their budget. I would note that it wasn't included in the governor's budget, but the agency had identified two potential technical adjustments that were needed. That was for higher fingerprinting costs as well as examination fees that they were going to pass through to those providing exam services. There is no specific adjustment for those costs at this time. The fingerprinting costs, the fees aren't necessarily going to be higher. That decision is not finalized yet in the OSP budget. So the proposal is to have the agency come back and talk to the emergency board when they return on their budget note.
Terrific. Just very quickly for the record, I want to thank Representative Escobar for his assistance in guiding me through this process. Obviously, the working with the real estate agency is a new process, and I appreciate the guidance you've provided me. And while I have absolutely no say on the matter, I most definitely hope you will put your name in to work on that interim committee because you've truly provided leadership on this issue. So, with that said...
You want to discuss performance measures?
Why don't we go through the whole thing? We'll pass it in block.
The final page of your packet is a discussion of the performance measures. LFO is recommending some additional ones to discuss their actions on contested case hearings, their use of the administrative hearings panel. There was considerable discussion about the examination and how that was being applied. So putting down here percentage of applications passing on first attempt, number of the online renewals. You might remember from the public hearing they're moving to online renewal process. And you'll see the standard customer satisfaction measures being added for them.
Okay. Mr. Director, any thoughts or comments really quick before we accept a motion?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Scott Taylor. I'm the Oregon Real Estate Commissioner. I'm going to be extremely brief. One, I phoned Representative Escobar yesterday and told him that I would pledge the agency's complete cooperation and assistance in the interim committee should that so become law. As you know, there's been a fair amount of dissension between the agency and others regarding some other legislation. I'd also like you to know that my history has been, and even before I became commissioner, I was known as one that's been able to bring diverse factions together. When the dust settles, I'm confident that we can continue to do that, and we'll work in that direction.
Perfect. Well, Mr. Taylor, we truly appreciate the assistance you've given us over the last couple months in trying to work to this point, and we look forward to working with you in the interim.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, I would move that the subcommittee approve LFO's recommended budget along with the budget note and the performance measures as discussed, and that the committee move House Bill 5137 with the -1 amendments to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Avakian moves House Bill 5137 with the dash one amendments to the full, I always forget this name, the full House Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any dissension? Seeing none, so moved. You want to carry?
Sure.
How about if you carry in the in the special, in the committee, would you like to carry this on the floor?
That's a great idea.
Is that all right?
No, definitely. I think that's perfect.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Carry that on the floor.
Sure.
So here. With that, we are going to adjourn or close the work session on House Bill 5137, and we're going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 2052 related to housing.
The only thing I want this morning, Mr. Chair, is that Smokey the Bear.
Oh, actually, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2052, and I'm going to open the public hearing on House Bill 2655A relating to group registration plates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative, come on up. Come on up this way.
I have a Smokey the Bear hat in my office.
Do you really?
I really should call and have that brought down.
I still have a Smokey the Bear. I'm not giving up on it. Teddy bear from my youth. So.
And sleep with it nightly? Or
yes. For 6 months when my wife's been out of town.
The last 2 weeks of session, he pulls it out.
That's right. My comfort.
When you're... Forest Service rolled out Smokey the Bear holding a big lighter saying, "Don't flick your Bic into my woods." And they immediately recalled all the posters because they didn't have all the proper paperwork, so to speak.
Oh, approval.
It was an endorsement of a commercial product, is how it was viewed. So uh-huh. Those things immediately became collector items.
Well, why don't we get started here very quickly? Mary Ellen, do you want to. Kick us off, and then I'll go to the representative.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, thank you for letting me testify with you today to support House Bill 2655, the Smokey Bear license plates, which you see before you here. Keep Oregon Green has a unique mission of making the public more aware across the state and teaching them how to prevent fires to protect landowner resources. We also have permission to use Smokey Bear in that effort. The task is becoming more difficult because we now have, it used to be we just had, the challenge of the visitors to the forest, but now we have to reach those people who live in the urban wildland interface where we have fires that start in the interface and threaten the forest, fires that start in the forest and threaten the interface. The challenge continues as the demand for resources is increasing as is the population in the wildland-urban interface, but there has been a decrease also in forest health, especially on federal lands. The need for wildfire prevention is critical to balance these issues. Smokey grew up with us and our children, and most likely our children know who he is. For 60 years, Smokey has been giving wildfire prevention message, and his stories have reminded us that only you can prevent wildfires. Unfortunately, many urban dwellers don't know who Smokey Bear is or what his message means, and we have that challenge in front of us to make them more aware and educate in the urban locations as well. House Bill 2655 gives us a greater opportunity to support that mission. Any symbol such as Keep Oregon Green's logo or Smokey Bear's head will help to remind others of their responsibility for wildfire prevention. The income from the plates gives us more funds for marketing the message and bringing about the behavior changes in our public that will continue to reduce the number of unwanted human-caused fires in Oregon. I have only one other thing to say, is that Smokey Bear is the most recognized icon, second only to Santa Claus, in the United States and thus in the state of Oregon. Smokey Bear is loved universally, and we know by discussions from the public as we've traveled, even in the elevator going to your offices, that people are very interested in purchasing these license plates. The end of result of its passing will be a dramatic increase in wildfire prevention awareness and education, and we believe a vivid reduction in the numbers of unwanted human-caused wildfires. How much better could it be to see a 3x3 billboard going down the street on several different cars as you're traveling from one point to the other? This is a group plate. There is no cost to the general fund or to the state, as we are responsible for those costs. And as one of you said, one of your peers said to me, it would be un-American not to support Smokey Bear and his efforts to reduce wildfires in this great state of Oregon. Thank you, and I would be glad to take any questions. I also have written testimony from Charlie Stone, who's next door in their budget committee for ODF.
Really quick, Mary Ellen, can you introduce yourself for the record?
Yes, I'm sorry. Mary Ellen Hawley, President, CEO of the Keep Oregon Green Association.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Representative.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. Representative Chuck Burley, House District 54, and I'll be very brief and just say that this is an excellent program. Keep Oregon Green works very hard. Yesterday, for example, was one of four workshops. It was sold out with over 80 people from Oregon and Washington representing federal, state, local fire districts, working on how do we develop community wildfire protection plans as allowed for under the Healthy Forest Restoration Act. It's a huge problem for us. I don't need to go into the details. I think we're all well aware of that, and this is an excellent opportunity to help raise some monies to fund a very good program, and I thank you for your support.
Really quick, when I first heard about this, I almost saw this more as an insurance policy for the state of Oregon to help prevent wildfires throughout the state. Is that a fair assessment?
I believe that you're absolutely correct. Yes, we don't have a budget right now to do the awareness campaign that we need to do. This will give us the budget and be able to get the word out there constantly instead of once in a while. And it certainly is going to raise the awareness about the need to protect the resources that we have in our timber industry.
In your testimony, you also talked about the financial commitment that you folks have offered to step up with. Can you share with us what that is?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Keep Oregon Green has been told that we will need to put $10,000 up front in order to get the program going. Once we've sold 1,000 license plates, we'll get that $10,000 back. We also have a commitment for the starting costs of to ODOT, and I'm not sure what that is yet. I have not received a physical on that, but we were told by Ms. Freeman that it would be up to $8,000.
Mr. Rocco, quick question for you.
Yes.
That $18,000, is there in the highway fund, are those dollars available to be used for projects such as this?
Mr. Chair, the Keep Oregon Green Association would have to pay the $18,225. That includes the $10,000 application fee that gets refunded if they sell 1,000 plates within the first 12 months after the plates are starting to be issued. And then the other costs are just the processing costs. So this would be paid from the association. And there is an additional $4,000 cost that comes from the highway fund for programming that the association isn't required to pay, but it just comes out of the highway fund. So we've issued a minimal fiscal impact in this bill.
Representative Pavakia, questions? Well, this is probably where I get into trouble with my chair over here. I would really like to try. Well, I want to. My intention is to move this thing through, but I'd also like to try and work with the Keep Oregon Green folks to see if there's a way through the Oregon Department of Transportation budget to assist in that expense. To me, this is an insurance policy for the state of Oregon, and if this is a small price to pay to spread a message, that could potentially save the state of Oregon millions and millions of dollars. And so, we won't be addressing that right now. That's something I won't put on the record that I'll probably be chasing him down.
Not to mention potential lives.
And absolutely. Lives and resources.
Mr. Chair, I might also point out that the bill, the surcharge revenues from the plates, because each plate costs $8, so it's $16 per vehicle. per registration year, the proceeds from that, the net proceeds, would go into a fund managed by the Keep Oregon Green Association for use in additional work towards preventing wildfires.
Terrific. Terrific. Representative Avakian.
Excuse me
really quick. We're going to open a work session on House Bill 2655A. I'm assuming there's no one else who won. Did you want? Oh, I'm sorry. Please come on up. I apologize.
Thank you. Robin Freeman with the Department of Transportation. Chair Smith, members of the committee, first off, regarding the funding, it is an unconstitutional use of highway funds for the department
it
to
is.
Pick up the cost, yes.
Okay.
And it is in statute that the nonprofit groups, through the 2003 legislature, they did do a streamlining effort with the license plate program. And what they did is they did raise the bar because they wanted, first we had 30 plates, a little bit more than 30 group plates we were managing, and overall they were not selling, and we were left with plates, stacks of plates that we were having to administer. That's not a reflection on this one. I know that there's a lot of excitement about this, and it's anticipated that it will sell. So they do want these nonprofit groups to make a commitment, and that is the $10,000 fee up front and the cost for the programming specifically to assign those plates, the numbers, and get those into our system. That is basically our cost for any nonprofit group plate, any group plate. And the anticipation is that they get back the $10,000 if they make that 1,000 plate sale, which, considering we have 4 million vehicles in this state, that's not a huge burden for them to bear, we don't feel, and the legislature didn't feel. And as far as the cost of the plates, I just wanted to make one clarification. It's $8 per plate per year, so that would be $34 for every registration period that would be going to this group to fund their cause. Just those two points of clarification. Thank you.
Ms. Freeman, we appreciate that clarification. I think it'd be the consensus of the committee. Please do everything you can to work with the Keep Oregon Green group to expedite this process and to make it go as smoothly as possible, because I think this truly has bipartisan and bi-chamber support.
Mr. Right. Chairman, we understand that, and DMV is committed to working with them to get this plate going.
You guys do a great job. Yeah. Representative Avakian.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would, with blazing speed, move that we pass 2655A out of our committee and light a fire under the full committee, a well-controlled fire, to pass it out with a do-pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Avakian moves House Bill 2655.
With blazing speed.
A, with blazing speed, to the a House Special Committee on Budget with a do-pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any dissension? Seeing none, so moved. I'm going to exercise the prerogative of the chair. I will carry this in committee, and I'm going to ask Representative Burley if he would carry this on the floor, mm-hmm. and Patty Smith as well, if we could ask the two of them. So thank you very much. I know this has been a little bit frustrating for you folks, but trust me, it was the best process to run it down through us to make sure we had the fiscal all in line rather than stalling it at an end. So, we are going to close the work session on House Bill 2655, and we are going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 2052 relating to housing. Monica.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 2052 raises the revenue bond limit for the Housing and Community Services Department from, I see my paperwork says $2 million, I believe it's $2 billion, put the right amount in there, from $2 billion to $2.5 billion. You took testimony on this in the joint committee. It doesn't appear that anyone signed up, but I know that there are agency people in the room if you have questions. LFO has issued a fiscal impact. This essentially allows the agency to continue in their loan programs. They issue about $180 to $230 million per year. The budget that you passed out earlier this session took this into account, assuming the limit would increase and they would be able to continue with their loan programs. Their bonding program is budgeted as non-limited funds, so there would not be a need for additional budgetary action on their budget from you or in the emergency board, and they don't need additional staff or operating costs to continue with their programs.
let me just ask a few quick questions on this, if I might. When we move from $2 billion to $2.5 billion, are we going to be required to have an additional loan loss reserve?
For the record, my name is Jack Kenny. Chair Smith, no, there will be no additional loan loss reserve other than as new bonds are issued, the indentures require a certain amount of new proceeds to be set aside. So,
And then those proceeds will then serve as a loan loss reserve? Does the state of Oregon already have sufficient loan loss reserve?
We will increase it commensurate with increased debt limit and with increased loan activity.
And
So it's sufficient for the current outstanding debt and outstanding loan amounts. If that increases, we will ensure that an appropriate increase is made.
And I assume that's per the bond covenants?
That's correct.
Okay. Have you folks done a cash flow analysis on the increase from 2.0 to $2.5 billion and determine what additional revenue that will generate and what additional expenses that will generate?
Chair Smith, yes, and members of the committee, we do cash flow analysis every time we issue bonds and annually. So, again, this is simply an increase in the statutory limitations. So our cash flows are associated with loan activity and with debt issuance. So we have done the cash flow, but it is more specific to debt issuance as opposed to the statutory change.
Help me here. I assume we're doing the statutory change so you can take steps to
increase our outstanding debt and increase our loans to continue to issue loans at our current rate.
Mr. Chair and members,
yes.
I would just remind you that the State Treasurer's Office, Debt Management Officer, was in and testified to this bill. Each time they do a bond issuance, they have to work through Treasury and present the cash flows, as well as working with outside counsel and financial advisors. But Treasury does maintain an oversight of that as well and testified in favor of this bill.
Where I was going with my questions is that's perfect. Where I was going with my questions is I assume there's going to be a net benefit to the state of Oregon financially, and I'm curious what the plans are for that net benefit.
Chair Smith, it's again. Let me just again. We testified, but just to remind the committee, the debt limit is more associated with an increase in housing costs. So as we issue amounts of bonds, it's relative to the increase in housing costs. So to do the same amount of activity, we need to have larger debt limit. To answer your question directly, we are limited to 1.5% by the IRS or 1 1/8 for our multifamily program. So our revenue increase is limited, and with increased activity, our profit, if you will, is plowed back into the program to do monitoring of activity to do the costs associated with running the program.
Help me here, and I know we've talked about this before. We're taking it from $2 billion to $2.5 billion. So we're allowing the state of Oregon to enhance its activity by $500 million.
Correct.
Okay. So I'm assuming we've also taken the next step and thought through that $500 million is going to result in additional lending activity.
Correct.
Okay. Relending activity. You're borrowing. You're turning around, relending the money out.
Correct.
Okay. There's going to be revenue generated. There's going to be expenses incurred.
Correct.
Hopefully there's going to be a net benefit to the state. Minus the expenses of the state of Oregon operating this, what's our plan for that net benefit?
I see. I understand your question now. Thank you. Generally speaking, the expenses are commensurate. So I don't know that our bottom line profit is necessarily going to be increased. And Rick Craig, our chief financial officer, is here. It depends on the economy. For example, as we've testified earlier, in the current year, we, for example, lost money on our bottom line because of accelerated prepayments of our single-family loan program. So it's one of those that moves with the economy. We never, we don't have plans for excessive profits because we basically maintain what we need to run the program, and and plow the additional money back into our program. Rick, do you want to expand on that?
Mr. Chairman, Rick Crager, Chief Financial Officer for the department. I think in terms of what you're asking is that you're seeing a large loan portfolio, so is there additional profit coming from that loan portfolio that we have plans for or that will benefit the state of Oregon? The answer is obviously we as a housing finance agency want to grow our loan portfolio. We want to continue to see our financial balance sheet take a turn. As we talked about during hearing, we saw a $15 million loss last fiscal year. We want to be able to turn that around. The way you turn that around is by creating more loans. But then there's a lot of other factors associated with this as well, that such as the large amount of prepayments that we have seen coming into the organization, the large amount of negative arbitrage with the short-term interest rates. In terms of, to answer your question, what does it mean to go $500 billion in terms of a net cash benefit? I'll be honest, I don't know that we have exact dollar amount what we would anticipate. Our hope is obviously to turn our loan portfolio around and start bringing a positive cash flow as opposed to the negative that we saw last spring.
Just really quick, and then we're going to move this, but I just want to be very clear with my point on this. When you go from $2 billion to $2.5 billion, you've now got the ability to lend another $500 million. Okay? You lend that out, you're going to lend it out at a rate greater than you borrowed it at. Okay. You're going to subtract that out. You're going to subtract out your administrative costs. You're going to subtract out your loan loss reserve. And at the bottom, after all that, there should be a net benefit to the state. I want, and you can get me an answer, that's fine, but I want to know what we're going to do with that net benefit. If it's just to put it in a reserve, that's fine.
Yeah,
it's to hold for future downturns in the economy, that's fine. I just want to know what we're doing with that net benefit.
And Chair Smith, I understand your question much more clearly. Now, right now, exactly, that is our plan. Right now, our reserves, our plan to prevent future losses is way below what the industry standard would say it should be. So our plan, if we are fortunate enough to be in the position you just described where there is a greater benefit, would be to increase our reserves for future losses.
And just really quick before I move this, will you send me, just for my own edification during the interim of reading, the covenant conditions on what you can use those excess dollars for?
I'd be happy to do that.
Representative Avakian.
We're
going to open, work session on House Bill 2655A. I apologize.
Actually, it's 2052. Unless we want to do Smokey the Bear again, which was a lot of fun.
What the heck?
Don't think it's going to help the reserve account.
We're going to close the work session on 2655A. We're going to open the work session on House Bill 2052 related to housing.
I move House Bill 2052 to the House Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Avakian moves House Bill 2052 to the Special House Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, so moved. Thank you, gentlemen. You folks did a great job.
Thank you.
Representative Avakian.
Unless Chair Scott wants it, he's been down there for nothing, it seems.
Oh, you may have it.
Okay, and I'm going to recess the Subcommittee on General Government and Transportation and Economic Development because Representative Krupp wanted to reserve the right to vote on these three bills, and when he comes down, I will open up, allow, or come out of recess, vote, and then close the committee.
Sure.
So we're going to be recessed.
But we're done with our...